It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The Senate is back in session Monday after a long summer break. The House returns next week, but the House Ways and Means Committee Monday morning released draft legislation for the budget resolution, which the Senate immediately begins marking up. The package includes a bunch of tax increases on high-income individuals, those making over $400,000 a year, raising the top individual tax rate from 37% to 39.6%. It also imposes a 3% surtax on individuals' incomes above $5 million. It raises the corporate tax rate from 21% up to 26.5%. That's less than Biden's proposed 28%, but higher than the 25% that Killjoy, Senator Joe Manchin, has said he's comfortable with. This legislation would also increase the top capital gains rate from 20% to 25%. This is the reconciliation package. The media keeps referring to it as the $3.5 trillion bill without mentioning that that's over 10 years. A more reasonable way to say it would be $350 billion a year for 10 years. Of course, both sides were making their case on the Sunday shows. Senator Manchin said he wouldn't back a $3.5 trillion bill.
He will not have my vote on 3.5, and Chuck knows that, and we've talked about this.
Aye. Of course, they didn't mention that this was already a compromise, down from $6 to $7 trillion when it first began. Senator Bernie Sanders, one of the chief architects of the bill, said that's not acceptable to the White House, to the overwhelming majority of the Democratic caucus, or the American people.
This is not Joe Manchin versus Bernie Sanders. I would surmise that over 90% of Democrats, over 40 Democrats in the Senate, would prefer to spend what I propose, $6 trillion, because they understand the needs facing working families and climate are so great. So a major compromise has already been made. And there is a real danger that this bill will lose, that the infrastructure bill will lose in the House, because you got many people there, and I support them, who are saying, you know what, we had a joint agreement. We're going to go forward together, deal physical infrastructure, deal with the needs of working families. Let's do it. Let's create the jobs. Let's deal with an expansion of Medicare. Let's deal with climate. That's what we've got to do.
Meanwhile, there's another issue simmering on the back burner that hasn't been talked about much, but the fiscal year ends on September 30th. That's just like 17 days away. That's the day the government will run out of money if no action is taken by then to fund it. The holdup is from an old issue that seems to only be an issue when Democrats are in power. That's the debt ceiling. To clarify, the debt ceiling is the total amount of money that the federal government can legally borrow. It's increased periodically to authorize the government to pay the bills Congress has already approved. It merely says that the U.S. will not default on the money it's already committed to spend. Now, during the former guy's reign, Democrats joined Republicans three times to raise the debt ceiling, and many even joined the Republicans to suspend it entirely back in 2019 with a vote of 67 to 28. Well, the suspension ended last week, and we're rapidly approaching the point where we'll start defaulting. But of course, Republicans are now balking, saying they won't raise the debt ceiling in conjunction with a continuing resolution to fund the government. It's like a broken record. By the way, for those who keep complaining about the national debt, it was just under $20 trillion when Donald Trump took office and more than $27 trillion when he left office earlier this year. Moving on to COVID, with the Delta variant raging around the country, President Biden addressed the nation Friday afternoon, rolling out a new six-pronged strategy to deal with the pandemic. Among them, vaccine mandates for federal workers, large employers, and healthcare workers. The pushback is exactly what you'd expect from a party who doesn't believe in science. I don't know. President Biden's campaigning with California Governor Gavin Newsom Monday as the polls close Tuesday on the California governor recall race. Although the gap between the no and the yes votes on the recall continues widening, the right is regressing to their old trope of when you lose, you lie and claim victory anyway. The Trump campaign had their Stop the Steal strategy ready to go when he surprisingly beat Hillary Clinton in the electoral vote tally in 2016. So they put it away for 4 years. and used it when he lost to Joe Biden in 2020. Well, now they're foreshadowing Newsom's victory by claiming this election was rigged too. You just can't make this stuff up. It's mind-boggling how many of their supporters are willing to suspend reality and believe this nonsense. He's back. North Korea is claiming that it successfully test-fired a new long-range cruise missile over the weekend. The announcement came as South Korea's top nuclear envoy heads to Japan on Monday to discuss North Korea with U.S. and Japanese officials. China's foreign minister is set to visit South Korea this week as well. And for some reason, the media has been fawning over Kim Jong-un's perceived weight loss. Seriously. As the Washington, D.C. and Capitol Police are bracing for another insurrectionist picnic at the Capitol, this one planned for this Saturday, September 18th, U.S. Capitol Police recommended six of its officers face disciplinary action because of their behavior on January 6th. For a range of offenses, including unbecoming conduct, failure to comply with directives, improper remarks, and improper release of information. The police agency said those officers' actions should not diminish the heroic efforts of others on the force. And now they're bracing for whatever this weekend will bring. And finally, there's another White House tell-all coming, this one from an unexpected source, Stephanie Grisham. Is the former Trump White House press secretary, best known for never holding a press briefing, who, before she ascended to that job, was the first lady's chief of staff. Well, Grisham is now breaking her silence. And we learn that one of the reasons for her abrupt departure from the White House was the response from Melania Trump when, on January 6th, Grisham sent her a note asking, "Do you want to tweet that peaceful protests are the right of every American, but there's no place for lawlessness and violence?" Melania Trump replied a minute later with a one-word answer, "No." Grisham resigned within hours of that exchange and apparently has a lot to say about the former first lady and the former guy and the administration. Grisham's book, ironically titled, "I'll Take Your Questions Now," will be released on October 5th. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.